Would you pray with me that God will help us this morning as we look into His Word? Our Father, as we come to look into the Scriptures this morning, our great desire is that You Yourself would instruct us today. We pray, Lord, that You will be pleased to take Your Word and plant it deep within our hearts, that You will go into the recesses of our inner being where no human can go, and that You would be pleased to give instruction. We pray that You'll come this morning, instruct and teach and persuade us with the truth of Your Word. And use it, Father, for our good, and use it for Your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 31. And I'm going to read a few selected verses from this chapter. Proverbs 31. We'll begin, first of all, with verse 10. Proverbs 31, verse 10. An excellent wife, or it could be translated woman, an excellent wife, who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. And then drop down to verse 27. Verse 27a, she looks well to the ways of her household. And then verse 28, her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Undoubtedly, one of the most difficult, demanding, and thankless tasks in the world is the task of motherhood, right? And yet, at the very same time, it has to be one of the most rewarding tasks in the world, this task of motherhood. And of course, when I say this, I'm not thinking about motherhood as it's popularly thought of in the world today, the popular consensus of what motherhood is. I don't have in mind the motherhood of current liberalism, or the motherhood of feminism, or the motherhood of progressivism. When I talk about motherhood, I have in mind motherhood as it's defined and described in the Bible. What the Bible tells us is motherhood. God invented mothers. They were His idea. And so it would make sense, wouldn't it? If we want to find out about mothers, we go to the inventor. And we consult with him first and foremost about what a mother is to be and to do. There's so many ideas today about what a mother does and what a mother is. But we're talking this morning about biblical motherhood. And a Christian woman, a Christian mother, is going to want to be a mother in accordance with what the Bible says about it. She's going to want to fulfill her maternal role in a biblical way. And that means that she's going to be concerned about the souls of her children, not just their minds, not just their bodies. She's going to be concerned about their overall character development. She's going to be concerned about their moral development, their spiritual development, in addition to their intellectual and physical development. And as most of you ladies know, this is a very difficult task. It's a very demanding task. It's intense in its demands. And my conscious aim this morning is to encourage mothers who are here, those of you who are mothers. Not everyone here is a mother. Some of you never will be. Some of you hope to be, but a good number aren't. But those who are mothers here, I want to encourage you this morning. In the words of 2 Corinthians 1, verse 24, I want to be a worker with you for your joy as a mother. That's my goal. And I hope that all of us, no matter who we are, we're all in different places this morning. But I think there's something here for every single person here today. So if you're not a mother, don't go to sleep. You know, I want you to listen, because I think there's something for everyone. There are ladies here today who are older. Your children, many of you, your children have left the home. And so a good part, your mothering task is never over completely, but a good part of it is over and done with. But no matter who you are, there's something here for everybody, not just mothers with children at home. The title of the sermon this morning is Christian Mothers, Sacrificial Servants. And I want to begin by saying that this is how you should view yourself. one of the ways in which you can view yourself as a mother. A Christian mother should think of herself as a sacrificial servant. In her maternal role, God calls her to be a sacrificial servant. And if you mothers think of yourselves as sacrificial servants, then what this will do, it will help you to identify and embrace what lies at the heart of your mothering role. To identify it, to know clearly what it is. What does God want you to do? But then even beyond that, you might know what it is, but maybe you're reluctant to embrace it. You need to identify it, and you need to embrace it from the heart and take up this task with the help of God. Take it up with a confident and joyful heart. And as you seek with God's help to fulfill your maternal responsibilities, think of yourself, consciously think of yourself as one rendering sacrificial service to God and to your family as well. And you're a sacrificing servant. He would be great in the kingdom of heaven, must be servant of all, right? That's what we're called to. And ladies, you have a unique opportunity to work out this whole idea of being a sacrificial servant. You have a unique opportunity, especially in your home, to emulate the example of Christ. And so I believe that it's very helpful for mothers to think of themselves as sacrificial servants and to consciously want to imitate and emulate the example of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. And there's real dignity in that. And there's glory in that, if mothers think about their maternal task in that way. So what is the work of a Christian mother really about? What could we say in just a brief sentence, a brief statement? What is a Christian mother supposed to do? What is the work that God calls you to as a Christian mother? And one way it could be put is this. I would say it is to mold a child for the world and for heaven. That's your task. To mold and shape a child and prepare a child for the world and for eternity. As a parent, you have a solemn responsibility to prepare your children for life in this world and in the world to come. And while certainly the priority of those things is definitely unquestionably on the salvation of your children's souls and preparing them for the world to come, we mustn't imbibe a philosophy of Christian asceticism that concentrates only on spiritual things and salvation and preparation for the world to come while neglecting preparation for usefulness in this world. Both of these things are important. They have their place, but both of these things are important. And a child isn't properly prepared for earth who also isn't prepared for heaven. And the reverse is true. A child isn't properly prepared for heaven apart from preparation for earth. And both of these concerns are very closely intertwined, so much so that they cannot be completely separated. You can't eliminate one altogether or separate them completely. And this is no easy task, to mold a child for usefulness in the world and to prepare a child for the world to come. No easy task at all. So in view of this, there are two questions that I want to ask and answer this morning from the Word of God. And one of those questions, the first one is for the mothers, and the second one is for the children. So kids, I hope you're listening. First question, this is for the mothers. What biblical encouragements are there to help you succeed in your role as a Christian mother? Because it's difficult being a mother. You get discouraged sometimes. You get tired out. So what incentives, what biblical encouragements are there? What incentives does the Bible hold out to you as a Christian woman who takes her maternal responsibilities seriously? And there's a long list of encouragements that we could come up with. But there are four particular incentives that I want to mention now. Incentive number one. Here's one reward, one incentive that God sets before Christian mothers to encourage them. And that is a good conscience before God and others. Just having a good conscience. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24 and verse 16. And this is an important reward, having a good conscience before God and before other people. And here in Acts chapter 24, the Apostle Paul has been accused by the Jews and he's been incarcerated by the Romans. And here in chapter 24, he appears before Governor Felix. And in the course of making his defense, he declares in verse 16 of Acts 24, verse 16, "In view of this, I always do my best to maintain always a blameless conscience both before God and before men." So let's make a couple of simple observations from this verse and from others in the New Testament. First of all, what this means is that a good conscience before God and others is possible to get and keep in this life. Right? Because here's the Apostle Paul. He says, "I do my best to do this." He was a man who could say, "I have a good conscience before God and men." And this tells us that this is something that's achievable. It's something that's attainable in this life. Having a good conscience before God and others is not some high, unreachable goal or some special standard that's reserved only for apostles or for the spiritual elite among those who name Christ's name. No, this is for all Christians. This is for all who follow Christ. And so if you're a Christian woman and you're saved and sanctified by the grace of Christ and you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, it is possible for you, yes, even you, to get and keep a good conscience in your role as a Christian mother. So that's the first observation. And then a second observation is that a good conscience before God and others is compatible with shame and regret about the past. Those two things are compatible. Remember, the man who's speaking these words is the same man who would later write in 1 Timothy 1, verses 12 and 13, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he considered me faithful, putting me into service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor." So Paul never forgot what he had been. He never forgot his sins from the past, never forgot them completely. He never forgot the vile offenses that he had committed against God and his people before that Damascus Road experience. And Paul wasn't a drunk. He wasn't an immoral man. But there's a sense in which his sins were even worse. They were far more aggravated than some of these other sins because they were directed specifically against God and his people. He was a blasphemer and he opposed Christians and he imprisoned some of them and even approved of some of them being executed. So they were particularly aimed. His sins were particularly aimed at God and his people, and Paul never forgot that. But Paul wasn't so focused on his shameful past that he gave up all hopes of ever possessing a good conscience in the present. And the reverse is true. He wasn't so focused on his good conscience now in the present that he forgot all about his shameful past. And that's what some people do sometimes. You know, it's like they forget what they once were. They have like spiritual amnesia, some people, and they seem to conveniently forget what they once were. And to talk to them, you'd almost think the way they are now is the way they had always been. Well, that's not the case with Paul. And Paul had a good conscience, and you can have a good conscience too before God and others. And without a doubt, motherly sins, maternal sins and failures can rob a Christian woman with a sensitive conscience of her peace and joy in the present. Just remembrance of sins and failings in the past with your kids is a real problem for some Christian women. But remember, the issue is not whether you've been perfect. You know, that's one way to get a good conscience, just be perfect. Of course, nobody can do that, so nobody would have a good conscience. But the issue is not if you've been perfect, because nobody's been perfect. The issue is, have you acknowledged your maternal sins? Have you acknowledged all of your sins to God? Have you gone to Christ and had those sins washed in the blood of Christ? And then have you made appropriate restitution? Have you repented of those sins and made appropriate restitution for those sins? That's the issue. And all the shame and regret, all the guilt feelings from the past, is not just going to evaporate and suddenly go away. Some things will, but they don't all completely go away. But don't confuse shame and regret feelings, shame and regret about the past, and guilt feelings. Don't confuse that with actual guilt that you have now in the present. If you're in Christ, you're not guilty. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Doesn't mean all the guilt feelings go away. There can be guilt feelings, but before God, you're not guilty. Because in Christ, there's no more condemnation for you. And a good conscience is possible to get and keep in this life. And a good conscience is also compatible with shame and regret about the past. And ladies, I hope that you understand what a precious thing having a good conscience is. A precious gift. And you should be willing to do whatever God would have you to do to get it. If we were to make a list of our sins and failings, things that tend to rob us of having peace and joy in the present, especially Christians in their latter years, certainly parental sins and failings would be near the top of that list. And many a deathbed has been turned into a bed of torture for some professing Christians as they are there and they're reflecting on what they did in their families and how they treated their children. And so easily, maternal sins, parental sins are easily on the list of things that rob Christians of their peace and joy in the present. So don't be making fuel for repentance by dropping the ball now as a Christian mother. And failing to do things you know that you ought to do. And continuing to do things that you know you shouldn't do. You're just making fuel for repentance and regret in the days ahead. And may God help you not to do that. Here's a powerful incentive and encouragement for you to strive to be an excellent mother. You should want to, of all the things you should want to be excellent at, be an excellent mother. And God holds out this encouragement of a good conscience before God and others. That's the first incentive. Incentive number two, the progress and development of your children. Now, doesn't that gratify any parent, not only a Christian parent, but any parent? Let's turn over to Proverbs 10, verse 1. We're going to look at several Proverbs. Proverbs 10 and verse 1. Incentive number two, the progress and development of your children. Proverbs 10 and verse 1. A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother. Proverbs 17 and verse 25. Proverbs 17, verse 25. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. And then Proverbs 23. This is the last chapter in the Proverbs we'll be turning to. Proverbs 23, three verses. Verse 15, my son, if your heart is wise, my own heart also will be glad. And then verses 24 and 25, the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who sires a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you. Children are in a unique position to bring great joy to their parents and also great pain to their parents in a very unique way. And one of the great encouragements to a godly mother is to see her children grow and develop in every way, to see her children grow and develop vocationally, to see them make progress in becoming knowledgeable and competent and respected in some field of study or some trade, some skill, something they're able to do, to see them gain the ability to make a living for themselves, to make a difference in the world, to be useful in the world. That gratifies a parent. Rather than to see their son or daughter waste themselves in a vain, profligate life. But more than anything else, a godly mother rejoices to see her children grow and develop spiritually. Of all the areas of development and growth and progress, this is the one, this is her deepest delight, to see her children grow and develop spiritually. To have a son or a daughter that loves Jesus. A son or daughter that follows Jesus. I mean, ladies, don't you want your children to love Jesus Christ? You don't want to have a child that hates Jesus Christ, I hope. And of course, that's not going to happen automatically, is it? Because we know of sin, the power of sin. We know what our children's hearts are like. We know what our hearts are like. That's not going to happen automatically that they're going to love Jesus Christ. And that's where you come in. That's where Dad comes in. A godly mother wants to see her children grow and develop spiritually. So, ladies, think of this. Every word you speak, every attitude you have, every activity, every decision you make, every moment of your life has some kind of molding, shaping effect upon your children. Talk about pressure. Everything in those little moments, those unguarded moments, everything will have some kind of molding, shaping impact on the development of your son or your daughter. So don't neglect to do what you know you ought to do because of the difficulty. You know, maybe you're discouraged. Well, I know I need to start getting at this. I need to be more consistent at that. And you don't because it's difficult. And you put it off because it's difficult. That's not a good reason. Or maybe you don't do the things that you know you ought to do because you fear the pushback you're going to get from your son or your daughter. And you've learned just what I can say and what I can do to not push my son's buttons or my daughter's buttons and get them upset. And you're not dealing with things that need to be dealt with. The Proverbs say to discipline your child while there's hope. There's a window of opportunity you have. The door is open for just a short time. It's going to go by much quicker than you think. And that window's open, that door's open for just a time. You have hope during this time, but that window's going to close, that door's going to close, and then there won't be hope from the human standpoint. So discipline your child while there's hope. While you've got them now at home and you have the opportunity, don't hold back. Your child isn't going to die. Right? Kids scream and cry. You know, if you administer physical punishment, corporal punishment, oh, your kid, you think, you touch him. I'm going to die. Your child's not going to die. You know why they're doing that? It's a way to manipulate you so that you'll ease up on them. It's to fool you into thinking, oh yeah, I've had enough and I've learned my lesson. They're just manipulating. It's just a tactic to get you to stop. Better to have your child grown now from the discipline and the chastening than to grow later in hell. When that child is suffering under the wrath of God. Better to get the groaning over with now. So don't neglect to do what you know you ought to do because it's difficult or you're going to get pushback. Here's another thing. Don't cut corners thinking that what you do as a mother doesn't matter. Oh, it won't matter that much, you know. Sometimes mothers think their efforts are wasted. That's why they don't do the things that they should do. Oh, it's just a waste of time for me to try to discipline my child or train them in this way or that. It's just a waste of time. Just think how bad they'd be if you didn't do what you're already doing. Right? You're making some effort. It's not wasted. Mothers say, oh, this doesn't work. That doesn't work. The issue is not whether it works. The issue is, are you doing what God wants you to do? You do the things that God tells you to do in His Word, and then you pray and leave the results with Him. The issue is not, does it work? Do what God says you must do. In everything you do as a mother, keep focused on your task. Don't get distracted by other things. Keep focused. Remember, you're aiming for the progress and the development of your children. And if you don't know what that is, if you don't know what you should be aiming for, in the way of seeing your child grow and develop, if you don't know what that is, be humble enough to ask someone. Some of us have been raised in church since we were very small children, as long as we can remember. We heard the Bible opened up to us about parenting principles and what the Bible teaches about this. For so many of us, we've heard it so much, it's just like old hat. But there are others who've never heard these things. You've never heard the Bible expounded about what it is to be a Christian parent and what a Christian parent does and is supposed to do in the training of your children. And that's okay. If you don't know what to do, just be humble enough to find somebody and tell them and ask them. Just say, you know what? I'm clueless when it comes to this. I've never heard good sermons about parenting. I've never read good books about parenting. Ask someone for help.
And I'm sure there's somebody in this church who would be glad to help you and point you in the right direction. Make your child a course of study. And get good books. Read good Christian books. Good ones that are founded on good, solid doctrine and theology. Not stuff by Dr. So-and-so that, you know, the current trends, what their opinions. But what God teaches about this. Get good Christian books and read them. And if you don't know what books to read, be humble enough to ask somebody. And I'm sure somebody here will point you in the direction of some good books. And make your child a course of study. Your child's worth that, isn't he? Isn't she? That kind of attention? Make your child a course of study. What have you got better to do than that? You're raising a child for God. Don't cut corners. Find out what you need to do. Read about it. Pray about it. And take up your task. With this in view, I want to see my child grow and make progress and develop and be useful in the world and be ready for the world to come. Incentive number 3. The praise and appreciation of your family. That's a third incentive. And we read about that early on in Proverbs chapter 31. Let's turn back there to Proverbs chapter 31. It's a wonderful incentive that God holds out to Christian women, Christian mothers. Proverbs 31, and look again at verse 27. She looks well to the ways of her household. She's not incompetent when it comes to the ways of her household. She's not neglectful when it comes to the ways of her household. She looks well to her household. Her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also praises her, saying, "Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all." By divine declaration, God has deemed it right and good that godly women and godly mothers should enjoy the praise and the appreciation and commendation of their families. And if a woman is competent in her domestic sphere of motherhood, she's worthy of that praise. She's worthy of the appreciation of her family. What a blessed gift that is, ladies, isn't it? Isn't that wonderful? When your family, they commend you for what you've done. And when they thank you and they really mean it, you can tell when it's just rote and they're just saying it and you appreciate it. But there's those times when they say thank you and they really mean it. It's coming from their toes. And how precious that is. They have mothers when they're being thanked for their labors. And mothers can tell when thanks is sincere. They can tell when it's genuine and when it's just out of habit. But that which comes forth spontaneously and sincerely is precious indeed. And when a wife or a mother is made to feel loved and appreciated, it's such an encouragement. That will do more to lift her drooping spirits than almost anything. To have husband and children expressing their appreciation. I'm thankful when my wife fixes me food. It doesn't have to be anything fancy. It could be almost anything at all. But she fixes it. I love that. And I get done with my work and there it is. And I'm ready to eat. Or when she washes my clothes. I'm thankful my wife washes my clothes. And she'll put it up on the dresser. It's up there in the bedroom. And I can put these nice clean clothes away in the dresser. And I thank her. I appreciate it. She doesn't have to do that. I'm glad she does. There may be some wives and some mothers here this morning who has husbands and children who rarely express thanks. Unfortunately, that's the case. They never express their respect for her, their gratitude for her. And maybe that's because you have said some things and done some things that make it difficult for them to thank you. You know, maybe they choke a little bit. When I know that I should thank mom for this or that, but they remember things that you've said and done. And maybe you don't make it easy for them to express appreciation. Or maybe it's because you just have a husband and children. They're just selfish and they're insensitive. Maybe it's a combination of both. Whatever. How blessed is the woman who can say, you know, I've had to go without some things in life. We haven't had a lot of money. I haven't had a new car. Nice cars, haven't had nice furniture, haven't had new wallpaper. I haven't had a lot of nice clothes or new clothes. But, you know, I've got something that compensates for whatever I've lacked. I have the respect and admiration of my family. And that's what's really important to her. She could go without a lot of these other things, but if she's got the respect and admiration of her family, she's a satisfied woman. So the praise and the appreciation of her family, that's going to carry a Christian mother, a godly mother, through many a trial and many a difficulty. Very important incentive. And now incentive number four, for the encouragement of mothers, the praise of Jesus Christ. The praise of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 25, there's the parable of the talents. And there at the conclusion of that parable, we read the words that the Lord Jesus is going to speak to those who make good use of their gifts and their opportunities and their abilities that God gives them. What is Jesus going to say? He's going to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Can you imagine the Lord Jesus saying that to you about anything you do? "Well done, good and faithful servant." And no tongue, no human tongue can describe the deep delight and satisfaction that will fill the hearts of faithful mothers when they hear Jesus say to them, "Well done. Well done. Good job. Good and faithful servant." So mothers, keep these incentives before you to encourage you. A good conscience before God and others, the progress and the development of your children, the praise and the appreciation of your family, and the praise of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are other incentives that could be mentioned, but these things make the sacrifice and the labor and the difficulty of godly motherhood worth all the effort. It is worth it. Even though you're dog-tired and discouraged many times, it is worth all the effort. And ladies, you should remind yourself of these incentives. Remember them when your motherly resolve begins to wear thin. Remember these things when another dish has to be washed and another diaper has to be changed and another kid has to be fed and there's another cranky, crying child that needs your attention and there's another mess that has to be cleaned up. Another trip to the store has to be made. Another trip to the school needs to be made. Load your conscience with these incentives. These encouragements, whatever it takes to do the will of God, you need all the encouragement you can get. So these are among the encouragements that God has supplied you in His Word to help you succeed in your role as a Christian mother. So now we come to the second question, and this is for the children. So I hope you kids are listening wherever you are. Here's the question. How should children, fathers too, husbands too, but I'm talking to kids mainly. How should children respond to the sacrificial service of their mothers? When you see mom doing all these things and she's not putting herself first, she's putting you first, and you can tell, you know, she really cares about me. She really loves me. She doesn't have to do these things, but she does these things. She works hard to take care of me. She gives up a lot to make sure that your needs are met and you're cared for. And she cares about your soul. You know this. She doesn't just care about you having a full stomach and some clothes on your back, but she cares about your soul. How should you respond to your mother? How should a child respond to that kind of a mother? And there are many responses. I just mentioned three things. Number one, honor. Number two, gratitude. And number three, obedience. Those three things. Honor. Show your mom respect. And then secondly, gratitude. Tell your mom that you're thankful. Thank her for things. And then thirdly, obedience. So let's think about these three things for a few minutes. Do you show respect to your mother? Do you properly address her? Do you listen to her? Do you ever mock her? I hope you never mock your mother. Make fun of your mother, mocking her. I hope you never hit your mother. That's out of bounds. You never lay a hand on your mother. And mothers, if your kid does that, you do not stand for that. That's a no-no. Never. Do you speak respectfully to her? Why am I saying it? Why'd you pick that one? Just go to the supermarket. What do you see? You see, kids speaking nasty, slapping mom. You don't ever want to allow that in your home. Do you speak respectfully to your mother? Do you speak respectfully to your mother in front of others and in private? Do you speak respectfully about your mother to others? Or when she's not around you, about your mother? Negative, insulting things. Do you belittle her? Do you frustrate her? Do you ever speak to your mother as though she's stupid? That she doesn't know anything? Like you know more than she does? I hope you never do. Like, you speak to her like you know more about things. You know what you're talking about. She doesn't know what she's talking about. You show respect to your mother. Why should you do that? The fifth commandment says, honor your father and mother. Show respect to your parents. Show respect to your mother. Do you obey the commandment of God? So that's the first thing, honor and respect. Secondly, you can show gratitude. You can say thank you to your mother. You can express gratitude not only to her, but also to God. You ever pray, oh, Lord God, I thank you for giving me the mother that I have. I could have a horror. I could have a monster for a mother, but you gave me a good mother. Thank you. You could have a mother who's a drunk, just sits around getting drunk all day, or is lazy and sloppy, never cleans the house. You could have a mother who's addicted to drugs. You could have a mother who ignores you, just wants to get rid of you because you're a bother, sends you off to school, sends you off to church so that she can do the thing she really wants to do. You could have a mother like that. You could have a mother who doesn't care about God, doesn't care about the Bible. You could have a mother who loves men other than your dad. You have a mother like that. You can have a mother who's just depressed all the time, a mother who physically abuses you, punches you, and pushes you around. Or you could have no mother at all. You could have that kind of mother. Plenty of kids have that kind of mother. A lot of kids have that kind of mother. But you don't. That's not what your mom is like. You have a godly mother. You have a responsible mother. A mother who loves you. A mother cares. Why is it that you don't have a mother like some other kids have? Did you just get lucky? Is that it? You were lucky? You didn't have that kind of mother? You have the kind of mother you have? That was God's goodness to you to give you the mother that you have. And don't you think you should say thank you to her for being the mother that she is? And give thanks to God for the mother that he's given you. And pray for her. She needs help. Pray for her. And thank her. Tell her you love her and you appreciate her. Let her hear those words coming from your lips. Thank her in all things. Big things, little things, in between things. For food and clothing. Do you ever thank her for being so patient with you? Putting up with you? You know, thank her for helping you when you need help. Thank her for taking care of you when you're sick. Isn't that wonderful? When you're sick and you got a fever and you're in bed and you can't do a thing and mom just comes and she pours on the love, takes care of you. You feel so secure. It's so good. Thank her for listening to you. You know, everything you say isn't like really interesting to her. It might look like that. She might seem interested, but believe me, everything you have to say isn't like super interesting to her. Don't just take her and the things she does for granted. She's not going to be alive forever. She's not going to be around forever. So express thanks to her. None of us are going to be around forever. None of us know how much more time we have in this world. And sooner or later, we're all going to be separated from each other. Sooner or later, we're all going to have to stand before God on our own. We're not going to be there with our mothers or our fathers. We'll be separated from each other forever. So you have the opportunity now. Seize the opportunity now, while you have it, to express gratitude to your mother. Honor, gratitude, and then the third thing is obedience. Do you obey your mother? Do you obey your mother the first time she speaks, or does she have to repeat herself? two and three and four? Does she have to threaten you? Does she have to count? Mothers, don't be counting. You know, I'm going to count to five, and the kid is going to take it to 4.9, right? Don't do that. Just they should obey the first time. And it should be quick, cheerful obedience. We used to have a saying, slow obedience is no obedience. Quick, cheerful obedience the first time. So she doesn't have to repeat herself or twist your arm or cajole you. Do you obey cheerfully or do you obey grudgingly? Do you respond with, yes, Mom? Yes, Mom. She says, son, daughter, I'd like you to do this. Would you do this or that for me, please? She asks you nicely. And you heard her. You pretend sometimes like you don't hear. But you heard her and you know what she said. Do you say, yes, Mom? Or do you grunt? Families do this. They don't communicate. They grunt. This one here. Everybody's grunting at everybody else. No, yes, Mom. Respond with respect. Do you need Dad to intervene before you'll obey? Isn't it amazing, ladies? You can say this and the kid doesn't listen. Dad can say the same thing. First time he responds. Do you have to have Dad intervene before you'll obey? These three things: honor, gratitude, obedience. And listen, a kid doesn't have to be a Christian before he can do those things. A kid doesn't need to be born again and have saving grace to show respect and to express gratitude and to obey. You're not expecting too much from your child. Don't give them an excuse. Well, he or she isn't a Christian. Doesn't matter. An unbeliever can do all these things. In short, I'm saying respond to your mother by loving her. We're talking about love. That's what it is. Surely the sacrificial service that your mother renders for your good, for your benefit, demands that you respond to her with honor and gratitude and obedience. You know, kids, why is it that you don't show your mother respect? And sometimes you don't say thankful. And sometimes you don't obey. Do you ever wonder why that is? Why you're like that? Why you do that? Why is that? You know why? It's because you got a sinful heart. That's why. You've got some bad junk in your heart. That's why you don't show respect. It's why you don't say thank you. It's why you don't obey. Because you've got some bad junk in your heart. And that's why you need Jesus. You need Jesus because you need to be forgiven of all that bad junk, all the bad stuff you've done. You need God to come and to wipe away all your sins and forgive all your sins. But you need more than forgiveness. You need God to change your heart. There's only one person that can change your heart. Only God can change your heart. You can't change your heart. You've tried, haven't you? How many times do you, I'll try to do better next time. I'll try to be more, I'll try to obey. And then you're just back to the same old stuff. Because you got a sinful heart. And you need Jesus. You need to go to Jesus and ask for his forgiveness. You need to pray, Lord Jesus, may your blood, I want your blood to cleanse away all the stains and all the dirt and the filth of my sin. Take it all away. And then, Lord Jesus, give me the desire. Give me a new heart that wants to honor my mother and wants to be thankful and wants to obey her. Go to the Lord. This is why you need the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you got a sinful heart. But then, ladies, what should you do when you fail? And you will fail. You'll keep failing. You have and you will, regardless of the ideals you may have and the high standards you may have and what you're striving for, regardless of the zeal you have. You might have great zeal. Oh, I'm going to be a godly mother. I'm going to glorify God as a mother. And you take up your role and you've got all kinds of zeal and you've got these high standards, these biblical standards. But those who live in the real world recognize that mothers will sin. and they will fail at points. You come in with the best of intentions, and then you fail. What do you do? What should a Christian mother do when she fails? Two things. Number one, without hesitation, flee to the cross of Christ for the forgiveness of your sin and your failure. When you become aware of it, flee to the cross of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ stands ready to forgive. He stands ready to receive all who will come to him. You come to him brokenhearted. You come to him confessing your sin. Don't think you'll ever feel sorry enough either. You come to him as you are, and you bring your sin and your failure, and he stands ready to cleanse and forgive all those who confess and forsake their sins. All their sins, not just mother sins, not just maternal sins, but all their sins. And as you come to Christ, remember that the blood of Christ is as potent and as effective now for pardon and cleansing as it ever was in the past. You can't wear out the blood of Christ. You can't wear out God's forgiveness. He's ready to forgive. You run to the cross, run to the throne of grace to receive grace and mercy for your task. Maybe some of you ladies, you say, well, I can't do that. I can't go to Christ because I'm not sure that I'm a Christian to begin with. I'm not sure that I really know Christ. Don't know if I'm a Christian. Well, how about that? How about that? And maybe that's where you need to start. Do what you can to be a good mother. But maybe this is one of the big issues. You need to know Christ to begin with. You need to have God do a work in your heart before you can expect anything good to happen with your children. You know, you're never going to be the mother you need to be until you know Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean that unbelievers aren't good mothers. There's unbelievers that are good mothers. But you don't want that. You want the very best. And you're never going to be the mother you need to be until you know the Lord Jesus Christ. How are you going to teach your child to live for Christ if you're not living for Christ? It really starts with yourself. You know, like when you get on a plane to take a flight somewhere, and they always say, if the oxygen mask dropped down, put yours on first. Why do they say that? Because if you pass out, then you and your kid or whoever's with you, they lose out. You get yours on first, and then you can take care of your child. It's the same thing with the gospel. Same thing spiritually. Take care of yourself first, and then you'll be in a far better position to be raising your child for God and for his glory. So that's the first thing. When you fail and you're aware of failure, without hesitation, flee to the cross of Christ for forgiveness and cleansing. And then secondly, second thing you can do, remember God's promise of sufficient grace. God always promises to give grace. He'll always give grace. And that promise, one of the promises, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, remember Paul's thorn in the flesh? We don't know what Paul's thorn in the flesh was. Whatever it was, it must have been something extremely painful, something very, very difficult, something very unpleasant. The reason God gave him that thorn is to keep him from exalting himself. He had been exalted to the third heaven. He had seen visions. He had seen things that probably almost no one else had ever seen. And so that would tempt anyone to be puffed up with pride. And so whatever that thorn was, it had to compensate for that tendency to pride. The more exalted the privilege, the greater the thorn, the more painful the thorn. And so Paul had this thorn. And God, as far as we know, never took it away. God always gives grace. That was the lesson Paul needed to learn. You've got this thorn, but my grace is sufficient. It's always sufficient. No matter what situation you're in, my grace is sufficient. When you get a thorn or a sliver in your finger, what's the first thing you do? You forget everything else, right? Don't you? I do. When I get that, I drop everything else and try to get it out. Sometimes you're not successful, but that's the first thing you try to do. But God didn't remove this thorn. God didn't take the thorn away, but he did give Paul a promise. Verse 9 of 2 Corinthians 12. My grace is sufficient for you, For power is perfected in weakness. And ladies, there are many things about your task as a mother at times may seem to be impossible. I can't do this. That's right, you can't. But the things God wants you to do is not impossible. They're not impossible. God's grace is sufficient for every task, every challenge that you face as a mother. And so many things about your task as a mother may seem to be useless, insignificant, not worth the trouble. You might think, oh, why bother? It's not worth it. And few things could be farther from the truth. Your task as a mother is extremely important. And if you don't think so, just look around in the world. The world is filled with people, with broken, troubled, scarred lives. They're broken for life. Many of them will never recover for time or for eternity. And it was because of a negligent, self-centered, immature, irresponsible mother who either didn't know what she was doing or else she did know but didn't care enough to do it. So what you do is important. The influence you have is extremely important. And eternity alone will unveil and reveal the true worth of a godly Christian mother. I'm sure you'd agree with me. One of the things our generation needs most are godly Christian mothers. Fathers too, but godly Christian mothers. So many things we're facing now in the world and as a nation is because of failure at home. And no amount of legislation, you throw all the money in the world at that, but nothing can compensate for that. No nation, no society can afford that. So what you do as a mother is extremely important. And may you be persuaded of that. May God give you grace to help you ladies to be the mothers that God calls you to be. Let's conclude this morning by saying, our Father, we are so thankful for the gift of a godly mother. We thank you, Lord. So many of us can say that we have had good and godly mothers to raise us. And Lord, we give you thanks for that. That was not something they did. It was something you did. We thank you for all their sacrifices, all their self-denial, all their labors for our good. Thank you for your mercy to us. But Father, we confess we've not always shown you or them the appreciation that we should. Please help us, Father, to reflect upon all that our mothers do for us and have done for us. Help us to see their labors, their efforts as extensions and expressions of your kindness and your goodness to us. And may we respond with respect. May we respond with gratitude. May we respond with obedience to our mothers. Father, we pray you would help the dear ladies of this assembly, help the mothers who are present here today. Please comfort them and encourage them in their labors. Help them to know that their labors are not wasted, that their sacrifices are not wasted. And we pray that you would comfort them and encourage them. Renew their resolve, especially those with small children at home, minor children at home. Renew their resolve to be the mothers that you desire them to be, the mothers that you call them to be. And give them the grace, give them the wisdom, the diligence, the willingness to be the mothers that you call them to be. Father, we're thankful that your grace is sufficient for all of our need. And we pray, Lord, that you'll supply that grace to these dear ladies in the days ahead. We ask all these things through Christ our Lord. Amen.